morning. There we go. Good morning, church. How are we doing this morning? Wonderful. Wasn't that a beautiful duet between Linda and Miss Angela? Wasn't that gorgeous, you all? We're just so thankful for all of our musicians here at the Forks, and we have a lot of talented folks here, and so we are truly blessed and honored. I'm so thankful you're here this morning. It's going to be a great day in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest, and we are so thankful you have chosen to worship with us this morning. You could be anywhere else, but you chose to be here with us, and we want to welcome those watching online as well. We're thankful for you watching. If you're visiting with us, there's a QR code in front behind me and in the pew back in front of you. We just ask you to take a moment, scan that QR code, fill it out so we just get to know you a little bit better. And at the end of the service, we have a special gift for you out here at our welcome center. We'd love to meet you and say hi to you and just thank you for being here. But this morning's going to be great. I want you to stand with me as we sing Away in a Manger.
Away, away,
Aren't you thankful for that this morning, church? Aren't you thankful that everything can be healed, everything can be repaired because of the Lion and the Lamb? Amen. Amen. As we continue singing this morning, let's raise our voices with this great carol, Angels We Have Heard on High. Oh, let's sing it together. Here we go.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Seated, church. Amen.
I'll talk real loud. Well, good morning. Can you hear me? Yeah, great. Well, my name is James Coleman. I'm the student minister here at Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church, and I want to also extend a welcome to you. If you're new, don't forget to go and check out our welcome center after the service. But this morning, we are going to light our second candle of the Advent wreath, and we're so grateful to have the Sanderson family to come and light this candle for us. But this is the candle symbolizing peace. Peace on earth. Peace with your fellow brother and sister. This is the kind of peace that the Pharisees and the Zealots did not expect, for they were looking for a warrior to come in and overthrow and to bring peace by force, but that is not what Jesus did. Jesus brought peace by giving himself up for us, and so we light the second candle of the Advent season. Scripture from Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight the desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you so much for everything you do for us. Help us, God, to humble ourselves before you and to seek first your kingdom and to seek first your righteousness. God, we ask that you bless this service. God, that may every word spoken, every song sung be glorifying to you. God, we pray that you will bless Pastor Todd as he comes forward in just a few minutes to bring us a message that you've given him this week. God, we ask that you speak through him. Bless our hearts, Lord, and call us to repentance. Father, we love you, and we seek you first in all things. For it's in the holy name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you all so much for that beautiful message and song. And thank you so much for being here today and allowing the presence of the Lord to be in this place. Every week there's an opportunity, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, to come to this altar and pray. You can kneel, you can stand, you can pray from your seat. For those of you watching online, wherever you are, can be your altar, your place of prayer. But we believe in the power of prayer. And if you're here today and you would like to come and tap into His power, I invite you to come join me as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. God, we have come today with grateful hearts and spirits, thanking you for your promise to be with us always. Emmanuel, God is with us. Thank you so much for promising to be with us, whatever we're going through. And Lord, there are folks gathered at this altar, or people praying from their seats or wherever they may be today, and they're going through a lot. Maybe, Lord, they're grieving the loss of a loved one. Maybe, Lord, they're battling some kind of addiction or depression or loneliness. Maybe, Lord, it is the first Christmas without a loved one and they're grieving. Lord, we pray for people that are struggling financially. Maybe it's someone looking for employment. Father, we pray for marriages maybe that are being attacked by the enemy. We pray, oh God, for many of our young people that are during a final exam week or finals and tests coming up in the next few days. We pray for them. Father, we pray for peace in Israel. We pray for peace, God, in each of our lives and in this United States in which we live. Father, we pray for all of our leaders. We pray for military that protect our country and pray for a hedge of protection to be around them. Father, we pray for salvation today. Maybe there's someone or many here and they've never placed their faith and trust in Jesus. We pray for spiritual awakening and revival and renewal. And may it begin in each of our hearts. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would just continue to touch each person here in a special way. For many in our church family going through treatments and battling some form of cancer or some type of illness, oh God, we believe in miracles and we pray that by your wounds, with your stripes, we are healed. And Lord, I just pray now that your Holy Spirit would continue to move in this place. I'm grateful, God, for this church, for the love we share in your spirit that's in this place. And I pray your blessings upon each and every one. And again, Lord, forgive me or forgive us of any sin that would hinder our prayer. Draw us near to you, God, and you promise to come near to us. And I ask now, God, that you would continue to move through the beautiful music and the musicians and instrumentalists. And Father, speak through your word and through your servant. And Lord, when it comes time for our time of commitment and decision, that people would be bold to respond to your Spirit's leading. Father, we love you and we praise you. And yes, we pray for peace on earth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3? We'll just be reading one verse. It's verse 15 of Colossians chapter 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you all so much for that beautiful message and song. And again, Emmanuel, God is with us. We are so grateful for his presence and his promise to be with us. Always like to share a little humor at the beginning of the message to try to get you ready to hear more important things. There was a couple that were seeing a marriage counselor, and the husband said to the counselor, "My wife says that I push all of her buttons." And he said, and if this were true, I would have pushed mute by now. 9 out of 10 husbands agree that their wives are always right. And the 10th husband has not been seen since this study was conducted. Man, life can be stressful, can't it? Life can be stressful. Maybe you're here today and you have deadlines at work that you've got to meet, and it's stressing you out. It's possible that you are stressed because you are busy running your children or your grandchildren all over the country doing this or doing that. Maybe you are struggling with some type of illness and it's causing you stress. Maybe you are preparing for some type of test or exam and that's stressing you out. Or maybe just the busyness of the Christmas season seems to be stressing you out. I believe all of us would agree that we all want peace. I hope that's the case. But the truth is, many times we go through anxiety and anxiousness and stress in our lives. Many years ago, Pastor Arthur Rick Warren gave a little stress test, if you will, or stress quiz, and it's fill in the blank, and this isn't rhetorical. You feel free to respond, but maybe you're here and you are ready to throw in the, you are at the end of your, I'm at my wits. Congratulations, if you answered all those correctly, you are an expert on stress. And so the fact is, we all struggle in some area of our lives. In our scripture today, we see Paul writing the church at Colossae, who was a fairly new church. They'd only been in existence 5 or 6 years, so there was a lot of young Christians. These young Christians were being attacked or trying to be led astray by some false teachers. It was something called the Colossian heresy, which they said, which taught Jesus was not adequate or Jesus was not enough. When we think about Gnosticism that they were teaching, they taught that if you have a special knowledge or some type of secret knowledge or mere human philosophy, that that could save you. Paul refuted that teaching by saying that Jesus is adequate, Jesus is all sufficient, Jesus is the only one who can save you. And I am so grateful today for the hope and the peace we find in God's Word. And maybe you're here today and your life is crazy right now, and only you and the Lord know what's going on in your life. But maybe right now you're being pulled in a lot of different ways. And you know, this is a great passage, and I shared at the early service, the book of Hebrews and Colossians mirror each other quite a bit in the fact that the message is that Jesus is all-sufficient and all-supreme. And so today, if your life you feel like is overwhelmed and you're stressed and maybe it's out of control, I pray that you would look to God to give you peace. And first, we must allow His rule in our hearts, His rule in our hearts. The first part of verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the peace of Christ. That's having an attitude of peace that comes through our faith in Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Since we have been justified through our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who laid down his life and took our place, took our punishment, so as though we had never sinned, just as though we had never sinned, to bring us real peace in our life. This is the foundation of where peace comes from. If you have never made peace with God or with Christ, then you are not going to have peace in any area of your life. That's first and foremost. If you don't have peace with Him, then you're never going to have peace anywhere else. When it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, then it literally means to preside, or as an act as an umpire. It's to govern our hearts, our souls, our minds. It's an inward reality with an external evidence that when we are at peace with Christ, then it affects our whole being and our relationships in every area of our lives. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let me ask you, what's ruling in your heart today? Is the love of money ruling in your heart? Is it possible that sports are ruling in your heart today? Maybe it's an addiction that's ruling your heart. Maybe it's a depression that's ruling your heart. Maybe it's anger or unforgiveness or jealousy or bitterness. What's ruling in your heart? Maybe it's an immoral or ungodly relationship. Maybe it is anxiety and fear that's ruling in your heart. One of the most beautiful passages that I've asked you in past times to memorize is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, when Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And that's a fact. And we are, as we read in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, since we have been raised with Christ, we are to set our hearts on things above. And we are to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. And also, many times go on to share verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. After that, do not be anxious passage. Paul wrote, and finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You see, our godly, holy thoughts, loving thoughts will overcome those doubts and unbelief and feelings of anxiety and worry and fear. So we are to think about these things. Think about such things. And maybe you're here today and you need to allow God to rewire your thinking. And like I've shared before, it can sometimes turn into stinking thinking. And we need to allow the Spirit of God to help us to have those good and holy and peaceful thoughts. You know, I talked to someone recently that seemed to have a good life, good career, had no complaints about a bad hand that had been dealt to them, and things seemed to be going pretty well in their lives. But they said, I just don't feel a peace. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you think, you know, I got this and I have that. I have a family. I've got a job, but I just can't. And I think that's a dangerous place to be. That's when people start looking for peace and love and answers in all the wrong places. And so I'm so grateful that this person came to realize that the missing piece in their lives, not P-I-E-C-E, but P-E-A-C-E, the missing piece was Jesus Christ. And maybe that's the missing piece in your life today. You just can't find contentment. You can't find joy. You can't find peace. You don't have any hope. Is it possible you're missing the peace of Jesus Christ that passes all understanding? If that's the case, I pray before this service is through, you will invite him to come into your heart and into your life, because nothing else or no one else can bring you peace like Jesus can. And I pray you will find that peace in him. But then secondly, when we have the peace of God, we reign in harmony. We reign in harmony. The second part of verse 15, since as members of one body, we are called to peace, or you are called to be. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Look, when we were reconciled to God, we are also to be reconciled to others, to be united, to be made one. We are, as Christians, followers of Christ, the body of Christ. We are to be united as one body. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, God has called us to live in peace. And then he said in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, live in harmony with one another. And then in verse 18 of chapter 12, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let me ask you right now, are you living at peace with everyone? There are some of you here today, and you are not living at peace with a coworker. There are some of you here today, and you're not living at peace with your neighbor. There are some of you here today, and you are not living at peace with a mother or a father or a brother or a sister, or maybe you're not living at peace with your spouse if you're married. And the truth of the matter is, if we are serious about allowing the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, then we've got to learn to get along with people. You've heard that old saying, can't we just get along? I mean, we pray for peace, don't we? We pray for peace in Israel. We pray for peace with the Ukraine and Russia. We pray for peace in Washington, D.C. We pray for peace in our schools. We pray for peace in our churches, and we pray for peace in our homes, and let it begin with me. Peace must begin, as the song beautifully shared, let it begin with me. Now, I've shared this through the years, and I'll remind you, for those who might be new to Forks, I was blessed, we are blessed, with a godly mother. My mother is going to have a special jewel in her crown one day for putting up with four boys, five counting my dad. And my mom was a peacemaker. Even Jesus pronounced a blessing in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, not cheesemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? The children of God. I believe we are closest to God when we get along with people. And we are to live at peace. I mean, I remember my sweet mom, and I've shared this before, when my dad and my older brothers and I had those wet dish towels in the kitchen, whipping each other with those dish towels. Y'all ever play dish towel fight? And my mom would go, stop, stop, somebody's going to get hurt and somebody's going to get mad. And then my dad would chit to my mom like that. But the fact is, she was up. My brother and I get into it in the back seat. My mom would always try to distract us. She'd go, well, look at that pretty red barn right over there. And we're like, what? She was all the time trying to bring peace. She's going to have a special blessing upon her life. I'm so humbled and grateful that I married a wife that tries to do the same thing.
Amen.
And that wasn't my wife that said that just then. But my wife is a peacemaker in our home with her four kids, counting myself, that she all the time tries to help everyone to get along. You know what? Strife is a sin. And if you are living in strife and you can't get along with people, then you must look in the mirror and say, what is wrong with me? That there's something in me that needs to change, since we are called as members of God's family, we are to live at peace. Since we are called as members of one body, we are to live in peace. Is it possible this Christmas you need to make a wrong right? Do you need to call, go see, email, text, whatever, someone and say, this is crazy. We're both so stubborn and prideful. I'm sorry. Forgive me, or I forgive you. Instead of one day saying with regret, I should have, I could have, I would have, if. Is there someone you need to make a wrong right with today before it's too late? Don't allow it to fester and ruin your Christmas season. Is there a wrong you need to make right? You are to reign in harmony and love with one another. Then the last part of verse 15, it's very simple. And be thankful. To respond in humble gratitude is the third point. Respond in humble gratitude. We have something to be thankful for today. I mean, we should be grateful for God's mercy, thankful for God's grace, thankful for God's forgiveness, thankful for God's provision, thankful for our health, thankful for our homes, thankful for our cars, thankful for our families, thankful for this church. Thank you. Thankful for our freedom, to be thankful for every good and perfect gift that comes from God. And when we have a grateful spirit, it tends to promote unity and harmony. But when we have an ungrateful heart, an ungrateful spirit, it tends to lead to dissatisfaction and agitation, and tends to lead to negativity and anger. Do you have a grateful heart and spirit, or an ungrateful heart and spirit? I pray that we would all have a grateful heart and a grateful spirit. That verse, or verses I share often out of 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I know it's hard to give thanks in all circumstances, especially when you're hurting, especially when you've been done wrong, especially when life's treated you unfairly. But we are to give thanks with a grateful heart. Why? Because he brings us peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that familiar passage when the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about the coming Messiah, said, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Paul said in Ephesians 2:14, he himself is our peace, referring to Jesus Christ. He wants to bring peace into your life today. Do you have it? I mean, are you really allowing the rule of Christ to reign in your life and in your heart? Are you allowing the world to reign? You're going to be unhappy and miserable until you allow Christ to sit on the throne of your heart and life. That's a fact. If you're trying to live without him, you're always going to be disappointed. With him doesn't mean we're going to be exempt from hardship, but he promises to be with us through the thick and thin and get us over to the other side. I want to close by sharing this story.